The Lord just laid on my heart, gave me some ideas based on last week. We're in a series called Real, Living a Life of Transparency, looking at the Apostle Peter. He's the one who denied the Lord. He's the one that was a hothead. He's the one that cut the guy's ear off. He's the one that slept when he should have been praying. Always stuck his foot in the mouth. But, you know, he's also the one that walked on water. Amen? And he was a real kind of guy. And I think God put him in the Scripture because he was a real person, but also so that you and I would have somebody we could really relate to. Amen? And Peter became a success. That's my goal for you. That's God's goal for you and for my life, is to be a success. Not so much maybe in what the world would see as success, but it's what he sees as success. A successful man or woman, boy or girl for his kingdom. So you can't do that if you're phony. Can't do that if you're not real. It just ain't happening. God doesn't need you. You hear me? Doesn't need me if we're going to be full of bull. Amen? Just doesn't need us. God of heaven needs me. No, he don't. He can use me. If I'll humble myself, then he'll lift me up. Amen? He'll work inside of me. So we're in a series right now called Real. Let's go with it, Raj. We're going to put it in some warp speed. We're going to try today anyway. But we didn't want to cut it short on the Browns too much. Amen? Man, I can't do that because we need a blessing, and we got it today. Our verse last week that we honed in on, one of many, was Acts 4:13. It says, now when they saw, they being the religious leaders, the ones who actually had Jesus Christ killed, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And we saw in this verse last week that Peter was a real idiot. Say that with me. Peter was a real idiot. And the deal is, I want to be one too. That's what that verse means. When it says the religious leaders, they were basically putting them on trial in front of them for healing a lame man. They thought they'd got rid of all this stuff. We killed the leader. It's all over. It's gone. No, it ain't. And it still ain't gone. Amen? And so anyway, they brought Peter and John before them and put them on some kind of trial right there in front of them. But they noticed something about these boys. They couldn't believe it. The boldness they had. They could not believe that out of these bold men, they noticed something else. They were unlearned and ignorant. In the original translated language of the Greek, the word is idiotas, which means idiots. They looked at him and said, how could this be? These guys are idiots. And they marveled at the way they had their power and their testimony, and they couldn't believe it, and they noticed that these men had been with Jesus. And that's why I say I want to be a real idiot. I want people to marvel at my life. Not because of Gary Clark, but because of Jesus Christ inside of me. That's what I want. And so if it means being a real idiot, count me in, baby. That's what I want. So let's look at this. How did Peter become this real idiot? Here's some things that he had inside of him. A quick review. He had a free and fearless confidence. I want that. He had an uninhibited and unreserved manner when it came to sharing the gospel and living for Jesus Christ. He was not afraid. I want that. He caused even the religious elite, the fancy folk, religious folk, to marvel at him. I want that. And then he did this. He lived his life in such a manner that people knew, hallelujah, he had been with Jesus. That's what I want in my life. Well, how did he do it? How did Peter get to real idiot status? All right? We laid down some things for you last week. And just a quick review real fast. He got up. When he had denied the Lord, he saw the Lord again, but he went back to his boat. He went back fishing. But when he saw Jesus on the shore, he was out there fishing. He was naked as a jaybird. That's what the Bible says. That's how the man was fishing. That's crazy. But anyway, and when he saw Jesus, someone said, it's the Lord. He jumped in the water. He took his chance, amen, to get back in the game, to get back in the race. And maybe that's where you're at today. It's your chance to get back on Jesus' side. If you've never come to his side, it's your chance to make that move today. Hallelujah. He got up. He did this by himself. What does that mean? That means it was his choice. It was his decision. You have to make that decision yourself. The second thing we saw last week is that he stood up. He stood up. As you follow Peter's life on through the book of Acts, early in the book of Acts, you see that he stood with believers. He stood with the disciples. He stood up and started talking in a room that was filled with 120. And we call that his community. We call it today the what? The church. The church. You need us. We need you. If you're going to be a strong Christian for Jesus Christ. I've seen a lot of people out there that don't go to church, but boy, they're so super spiritual. And most of them are nuts. Most of them are quacky. Weird. We're here to help you not be so weird. Amen? I'm telling you, people that just, oh, I never go to church. I don't need church, but I got all the answers from Jesus. Uh-huh, sure you do. Need to be in church. Need to be fellowshipping. Why, preacher man? Because that's Jesus Christ's plan. We don't work our tail off to do this every week just so that we can have some fun. It's the command of God. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Especially as you see his coming approaching and getting nearer, we should be more focused on the church and coming together and serving and working and encouraging one another. Amen? Peter did that. He stood up. Look at the third thing that he did. He spoke up. He spoke up, and he did that before unbelievers. And we looked at this last week. This is Jesus' commission, that you go into all the world and preach the gospel and you share your testimony. I'm not talking about shove it down people's throat, but if we're going to reach people for Christ, we've got to speak up. Amen? We've got to get out of here. We got to go out there in our world and tell them that Jesus loves us, loves you, and tell them about how he loved you and how you came to Christ. Give them something real they can chew on. Amen? And then the fourth thing, he gave up. We saw the lame man at the Gate Beautiful last week. And as Peter and John were passing by, the lame man asked for alms, alms, alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I'll give to you. He said, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen? And that's why they were on this little trial now. They were having this trial before the religious leaders because Peter gave what he had. Amen? And this is how you can become a real idiot. Those are four things that'll help you become a real idiot. Amen? Get up, stand up, speak up, give up. You want people to start thinking you're crazy? Start giving to God's work. Start giving to needy people. If you got a car and you know somebody that's really hurting, give them your car. People are going to think you're crazy. Jesus will probably say, that's pretty cool. Amen? Glad you did that. Start giving like that. But let's go somewhere. We're moving now forward. You can have all this and still not have the real idiot thing happening. Amen? You can have these four things happening in your life and you still haven't got to idiothood yet. Amen? We need to get you there. And we didn't finish last week, and we're tying it in with what we're saying today. You must have the fire. Say that with me. You must have the fire. Come on, some of you, I don't believe you got it. Come on, say it again. You must have the fire. You can do those four things all day long. Get up, come to church, even talk to other people about Jesus. You can even give stuff away. But if you don't have the fire of God, friend, you ain't arrived. Amen? Without the fire, you're just a false alarm. Please exit the building. Please exit the building. Stupid alarm. You ever think God thinks that of us? When we leave and we go out of here, and boy, we were at church, we're real spiritual, and I think God's hearing, there's another false alarm. They don't really have the fire. All right? We need the fire. Keep looking. Peter was filled up. That's the fifth thing. He got up. He stood up. He spoke up. He gave up. He was filled up. Filled up with what? Pop it up there. He was filled with fire. What kind of fire? The fire from the Comforter, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit of the living God. He had the fire in him. And see, that's what made Peter the man he was. Did Peter still have warts and wrinkles? Sure he did. He was real. But he learned. He learned it wasn't his sword. Amen? He learned that it wasn't his own natural leadership abilities that he had. He learned from the Holy Spirit, the living God, that he could do this thing. Jesus said, hey, Peter, you're the leader, man. You're going to be the rock, baby. It's going to happen. And Peter tried in his own strength and failed miserably. But when he received the Holy Spirit of God in his life, he was on fire for the Lord. He was filled up. John the Baptist said it was going to be like this. Hang in here with me. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water, John the Baptist said, unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bear. He shall baptize you, say it with me, with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. Now look at what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said. John 14, Jesus was going to be leaving his disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. And so he had to leave them with some encouraging words. And here, he could have been more encouraging than this. Look at it. I will pray the Father, Jesus said to his disciples, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you. Say it with me. For ever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. He shall be in you. Verse 18, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come unto you. Acts 1:8. The last verses that Jesus ever spoke, and the words that he ever spoke that's recorded in the Bible, Acts 1:8, before he ascended to seat at the right hand of God the Father, he said this to his disciples: you shall receive what? Say it with me. Power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now look at Peter. Peter got it. Acts 4:8, he got it. Look at it. Say it with me. Then, Peter, say it with me, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, if you don't have the power of the Spirit of God in your life, then you know what you are. You're just an alarm. Ank, ank, ank. Please exit the building. If we're going to reach people for Christ, if we're going to make a difference in our world, we need other than just false alarms going off. Amen? Let's keep looking. You can have the alarm going off all day, but if you don't have the fire, say it with me, then you ain't on fire. A lot of people think they're on fire. They ain't on fire. We're going to talk about it this morning. Keep looking. A lot of church people today think they're on fire, but they ain't. Okay, I've seen it. This is what I've given my life to do. Been many times when the preacher wasn't on fire either. I was going through the motions. It's my job. This is what I do. Many times I did that, didn't even know I was doing it. It's what I do. I got in a pattern. Got to walking this way. I tell you what, God wants to empower you. And he'll use crazy people to empower because he's using me. Amen. So listen, all of you qualify. Amen. Get in line. If you're not on fire, it's just a bunch of bells and whistles. That's what we heard last week. I heard it all week long in my memory. Is it going to happen again? You know? And it pressed upon my mind today, this message. I call this, when the bells and whistles go off and when the warning's going off and it's no real fire at all, I call it this. Title of my message today, say that with me, phony fire. And we're not going to be very long. We're making good time because I'm plowing through it. Come on, here we go. Phony fire. Let's look at a couple of three alarm fires that Peter was called out on. Peter, the real deal. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Not Peter, the denier. Not Peter, the guy that kept falling constantly. Not that guy. Not the guy that thought he could make it on his own. I'll follow you and everybody else denies you. And he did. He followed him and then denied him. Amen. We see this guy. He's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and God is calling this guy out on a couple of three-alarm fires that I saw in the book of Acts. And I was planning on talking about him today anyway, so let's look at it. Here we go. Acts chapter 5. If you have your Bible, let's go there. And I'm just going to tell you this story, and we're going to pull out something. A certain man, his name was Ananias. His wife was, tell me, what, say her name with me. Sapphira. Come on, let's say it one more time. Sapphira. It just sort of feels good saying it, don't it? Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, they sold a possession. They had something and they sold it. And they kept back part of the what? Price. His wife also being privy or private to it. And they brought a certain part of this money that they received for selling this possession. And they laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep back part of the price of the what? Land. So they sold something, and they're coming and they're bringing money, and they're putting at the apostles' feet, Peter's feet. And Peter looks and says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie, and you have kept back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied unto men, but unto God. What happened here? They had a piece of land. They sold it. Is there anything wrong with selling something and giving a part of that to the Lord's work? Yes or no? Nothing wrong at all. Is there something wrong with it when you sell it and you make the church think and the apostles think that you're giving it all? Is there something wrong with that? Say yes. That's what they did. They sold something and they were privy to it. Each other, shh, we're going to make them think we gave it all. They're going to think we're so wonderful. They're going to think we're full of fire, baby. Okay? Keep looking. And Ananias, hearing the words out of Peter's mouth, he fell down and gave up the ghost. He was deader than a hammer. Fell over dead. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. I'd say so. My goodness, it scares me even to this day. And the young men arose, they wound him up, they carried him out, and they buried him. He was finished, but the story ain't over. Verse 7, it was about the space of 3 hours later. 3 hours later, see, they had it planned. I imagine Ananias said, you know, I'll take it in and you know, we'll do this deal. And I bet his wife probably said, oh, no, uh-uh. I want part of the glory, too. Amen? Say, I want some of that stuff. I want to see how that feels, too. So she planned to come in 3 hours later. All planned. So his wife, not knowing what was done, though, she came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. He gave her a way out, didn't he, say? And she said, mm-hmm, so much. Where's my crown? Where's my halo? Where's my little pin? Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together with your husband to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband, they're at the door and they're going to carry you out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. She is deader than a hammer too. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now I need you to listen to me. Come on, hang in here with me. Let's see what we're talking about today. We're talking about phony fire. And this couple is Ananias and Sapphira. See, it's amazing what the Bible says. If you'll read it, you'll see yourself in it. You'll see areas where you need to grow and change and repent. That's what the Bible's for. It's there to help us. Amen? This is, I got two flames I'm going to look at this morning. This one's the phony flame of pride. Could you say that with me? The phony flame. They were full of something, all right, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Okay? They were full of pride. And let's look. Pride says, say it with me. Look at me. One more time. Pride says, look at me. Did you ask just no place for the Christian? That's, God just hates that with a passion that he created us and we go around saying, look at me. That's what the phony flame of pride does. Keep looking. Being full of yourself is not the same thing as being full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm afraid the church today has a lot of folks full of themselves running around. And I know that's a condemning statement and judgmental of Pastor Clark. But you know what? If you'd been at something in your career for a long time, I think you could have a decent opinion too about something, don't you say? So I think I am qualified to have a decent opinion here. And I think a lot of people run around and they're not full of the Holy Spirit, they're full of themselves. Keep looking. I saw something in this story about pride. Just four little simple things. Number one, possession. Say that with me. Possession. Pride usually deals with a possession. Here's what I mean. It usually involves something you have or something you do. Look at what I got. Look at what I can do. Look at me. I've done this. How about this? This is how we did it up north. Why do you sing those songs? They're wrong. We're right. You're stupid. We're smart. Amen? Why don't you have a pulpit? Why don't you wear a tie? Why don't you jump off a bridge? No, I'm just kidding. Do you hear what I'm saying? Say. Possession. Possession is something that we're good at or it's something that we have. And Satan knows just how to get in and make us think we're on fire. But it's ank, ank, ank. Please exit the building. Please exit the building. Amen? Possession. They had a possession. And it ruined them. Amen. You need to learn how to, that every good gift comes from the Father above. That's why God did us a favor when he taught us to tithe. He wasn't trying to pick on you or steal your money. He's trying to keep you out of the devil's grip, man. He's trying to say, hey, look, I'm going to bless you and you give to keep my kingdom going and you're going to have more than enough. It's going to run over. But instead we get stingy, we get greedy with our possessions. We think they're ours and we're up the creek, man. We're in bad shape. Keep looking. The second thing I saw, part. Say that with me. Part. They kept back part. What do I mean? Look at it. There is usually an appearance of giving it all you got with pride. See, pride don't work too good unless you can make other people think, I'm giving it my all. Amen? I'm giving it all I have. Pride doesn't work too good If you let people know, you're just giving a part. You're just doing it halfway. Amen? We usually, with pride, we put off this appearance, this air, that, man, we're giving it all, or we're the best in this area. I'll just let you let that sink in and think it through a little bit. How about this thing? I saw something else. Privacy. Say that with me. Privacy. Pride requires you to keep certain things about yourself secret. We're talking about being real. That's what this whole series is about. But pride requires you to keep certain things about yourself secret. Why? Because if they really know me, they won't think I hung the moon after all, will they? Say, I don't think most people in our world are looking for people that hung the moon anyway. I think they're looking for people that are real, that have suffered, that have hurt, that have gone through trials and troubles and sins, and they found a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And He's giving me hope, and I'm still struggling. I haven't arrived yet. Boy, I think that plays a lot better than, look at me, I hung the moon. You can hang moons too. Privacy. They had to keep this secret. There's no way they could let the cat out of the bag. The story wasn't the works. They had to keep the secret. Look at me, look at what I'm giving. You know? And I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. This needs to be said. You know? If what we give, this ain't even a message on money, but I think it applies. Well, it is a message on money. Isn't that what we're giving? Say. So it is a message on money. How many of us would be ashamed, 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 ashamed if people really knew what we gave? Would be ashamed. Because, see, we got this pride thing happening. We're making them think we're givers, we're tithers, we're there at fellowship, we're supporters, baby. We're in with both feet. But you know that if it was just up to you and what you're giving, we'd run for about 3 months and have to shut down. That's tough preaching. That's ugly. But I'd rather have you be honest, friend. Amen? That's why I say if you can't give cheerfully, keep it. Why? Because I'm trying to get you to the place where you're honest. And then when you start giving, it's going to be out of an honest heart, out of an honest spirit. Amen? Does that make any sense to anybody? That's our goal. That's not easy to build a church like that. It'd be easier for me to get up here and con you. It'd be easier for me to get up here and act like a phony. It'd be easier for me to get up here and have you come down and me lay hands on you and tell you you're healed and all this kind of stuff, and you'd be indebted to me forever. It'd be a whole lot easier for me to do that than to tell you the truth. Phoniness. The phony flame of pride. The last thing is this. The last P is production in this story. Pride requires a lot of acting and putting on of a show. Amen? It requires a lot of acting, man. And the church is full of some Hollywood types. We're real big and bad about pointing the finger at Hollywood, but I'm convinced the Church of the Living God is full of Hollywood types today. Man, they're making their own show. They're putting on their own movie, baby. They're putting their own script together. Hey, this story right here, you couldn't get any better movies than this little story we just read, isn't it? And it got all kinds of good stuff in it. Man, pride, the phony flame of pride. We need to put that out if we're going to be real. Are you hearing me today? Say. And if we're honest, probably all of us in the building today, we got some of it going in us. You know what I mean? I don't want you to be content. I don't want to be content, because as long as that flame of pride's in us, God ain't going to be. His Spirit's not going to be working inside of us. Keep looking. Several things I've written on this about pride. Nobody produces phony fire but you. I can't blame my situation on a church up north, or what a pastor did to me, or you don't understand my situation, what my husband did, my wife did, my children did, so-and-so did this to me. Nobody can make you phony but you. Are you hearing me today? Say. You can't blame that on anybody. The only producer in your life is you when it comes to pride. So somebody needs to get fired. Amen? The greater sin of phony fire is not the fooling of others, it's the lying to the Holy Spirit of the living God. I mean, it's bad enough that we pull the wool on one another. But it's far worse. Something far worse is going on. It's a God who is angry and full of wrath in heaven. Oh, but I'm saved. I don't think that dog's going to hunt. In the last day, I don't believe that's going to stand. It's frightening. Keep looking. Phony fire matters a whole lot more to God than it will to other folks. But we make the grave mistake of focusing more on what others think rather than what God thinks. Isn't it easy, say? Isn't that what we're prone to do? I care about what you think, and you care about what I think, and we forget, wait a minute. What does he think? Are you hearing me today? We're talking about being real. Boy, Peter was the guy that God used because he had been full of himself. And boy, he could really go on this three-alarm fire. He was the fire man, baby. I'm telling you. Phony fire. Let's look at the second one, and we're done this morning. Simon the Sorcerer. Can you say that name with me? Simon the Sorcerer. This guy actually had said he had accepted Jesus as his Savior when Philip was preaching. You can check it out in your scriptures, chapter 8. But something happens. And don't you see what happens in our story? Look at it. This is the phony flame of power. The phony flame of power. There's the phony flame of pride. And then there's this control thing. There's this power thing that we crave. Let's look at it in the story today. Power says, listen to me. Say that with me. Power says, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about, Jack. That's what power says. Pride says what? Look at me. Power says, listen to me. Keep looking. This story. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them, who? Peter and John. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Keep looking. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and these new believers in Samaria received the Holy Spirit. Keep looking. This is quite a show. I mean, these guys received the Holy Ghost. They had a fire in them after Peter and John laid hands on them. Now watch it. Now when Simon the Sorcerer, not Simon Peter, when Simon the Sorcerer saw that Peter and John laid their hands on these people and the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? Say it. Money. Money. Did you know in your Webster dictionary, if you look up the word simony, it comes from this man right here. It means trying to buy religious favors or religious indulgence with money. It means trying to buy religion. Came from this man right out here, out of the Bible. Isn't that funny? So he offered him money. Keep looking. Say this with me. Say it with me. Give me also this what? Power! That on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to do. Would that be great? Say, huh? Be honest. Wouldn't that be great if you had that power? You just go around touching people. People go, they get lit up, don't they? Sounds good, don't it? Sounds like it's maybe right. But watch it, verse 20. Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, because you have thought the gift of God can be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not what? Right in the sight of who? God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Pray God if perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive you're in the gall of bitterness. You're in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray to the Lord for me. None of these things which you've spoken come upon me. Wow. That's quite a story, isn't it? Say. I know I read the Bible like a crazy man, but it's fun. The phony flame of power. The power of the Holy Spirit cannot be purchased with money. That's why I would rather you give cheerfully. Because it's not doing you any good if you're not right with the Lord. Are you hearing me today? Does that make sense? Number two, the power of the Holy Spirit cannot be obtained by being clever or using trickery. The church is dumb today. It takes 2020 or Dateline to do an investigation on crooked preachers. And then we go, oh my gosh, I can't believe he was a phony. What planet are you from then? Read the Bible. Are you hearing me today? Oh no, he had a thing in his ear and they were telling him who it was that was coming forth and he was giving their name and what they had and all this problem. I know that's ugly, but let me tell you something. I don't care how glitzy we get, how fancy we get, we cannot receive and have the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God on our life or on our ministry by trickery or being clever. Are you hearing me today? Let's praise the Lord. Come on. Can't do it. Ain't happening. And I know that's hard preaching for some of you. Because you tell me what church you've come from and what denomination you're. We're a non-denominational church with a lot of people visiting here today. But just because you see something, that don't mean it's real. Are you hearing me today? And you ought not be shocked when unsaved people, reporters and things like that can figure it out, but you can't. Come on. Let's keep looking. The power of the Holy Spirit does not come by getting into an emotional state or frenzy. It's funny. Now, I watch this. I know this is being ugly, and this is going to be on TV. They're probably going to kick me off. Okay? But the fact of the matter is this. Listen. It's funny. If you'll watch Christian TV or even some of the churches, listen. It's funny when the power of the Holy Spirit and the tongues and all that and the healing, it seems to all take place when everybody's in a frenzy. All right, yeah, let's go, baby, all right. Does God show up when it's quiet? Say. Does God say, be still and know that I am God? Say. All I'm saying is I think He should show up both places. Amen? Say. Why have I to get y'all jacked up and all worked up for the power of God to fall? That's ugly, preacher. I'm just talking this morning. Hey, I'm talking about being real. This has hit me hard in my office too. Clark's been peeling off, man. Oh, man, this hurts. Keep looking. Bottom line, the power of the Holy Spirit will never be at work in the heart of someone who's not right with God. Never. The fire of the Holy Spirit will never be at work in the heart of someone who is not right with God. Am I saying we shouldn't get emotional? Sure we should. But I'm saying we don't have a formula worked out for the power of God, friend. All right, let's play the music loud. Let's go. Hey, I get excited at ball game. You think I'm full of the spirit of the ball game. I'm just full of Gary. Amen? We need to know the difference, friend. So I've ended this message today with some practical help. Just something right out of this passage. It's not what you'll read in the fancy books, but it's what you read in the Bible. Look at it. Position yourself for the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? Position yourself for the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit's power. I believe in the Holy Spirit's fire. I'm going to make a bold statement. I have had the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit of God on my life the last 4 years. And that has it always been constant? No. But I know something. Something lit me up and it won't Gary. Okay? And I can't figure it out because, quite frankly, I was at a low point in my life. I was not at a high point. I was at a low point. I was ready to quit. I was ready to pack it in. I was getting sick to my stomach serving like this. And God lit me up, man. Amen. He hammered me. He beat me upside the head. He made me do things I didn't want to do. It's amazing. So how do you position yourself for the power of the Holy Spirit? And I'm no expert on it, but I want to give you something. Here it is. Number one, repent of wickedness. Say that with me. Repent of wickedness. Now that won't cause no party. People won't be real excited about it. Yeah, let go. We're going to repent of some wickedness. Yeah. No, that don't play too good. That's what Peter told Simon. He said, repent of your wickedness. And I think if we're going to have the Holy Spirit's power in our life, we've got to repent of wickedness. I'm not talking about lay me down to sleep prayers. Lord, you know, I know I've done something wrong in my life, and I ask you to forgive me. I don't believe you'll have the Holy Spirit's fire and power in your life if you do that. I think you've got to dig deep, man. Say dig deep with me. Dig deep. I think you need to shed some tears. I think you need to ask God to bring up the filth and the mess and the nastiness and what is it that's keeping me from you. If there be any wicked way in me, David said. Amen? Find it. Ask the Holy Spirit of the living God to put His finger on it. Repent of that. Boy, that ain't too fancy preaching though. That'll get you lit up. It took Peter denying the Lord and turning his back and going another direction. And God showed up. The second one, say that one with me. Pray to God for forgiveness. And again, I'm not saying, oh, by the way, and please forgive us, Lord, because we have sinned. I'm talking about if you want the fire of God in your life, I'm talking about the real stuff. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for forgiveness to God. Ask for forgiveness to up from others. But what will they think of me? That's the whole point, friend. That's the whole point. You're not to be thought of too highly anyway. Amen? It's all about Him. The third thing is this. Realize it's God's decision to give you the power and not yours. Sometimes I think we can create a service and that I can just give you this power. Come get it. Get a basket full. It's not up to me to give the power. It's not up to the church to give the power. What's Acts 1:8 again? All power shall be given unto you. What's Acts 1:8? But you shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not Gary. Not the church. I think when you repent of wickedness and when you ask for forgiveness, I think you need to realize it's God's decision to power your life and to light you up. It's not yours. All you can do is put yourself in the right position. Are you hearing me today? Say, I want to position myself for this power. It's not a gimmick. It's not something we can just manufacture. And I'm afraid the church has done it today, and that's why a lot of people think we're nuts, man. They just think we're just crazy. Because they don't see it real in your life, and they don't see it real in my life. So what the heck do I need with that mess? Position yourself for the power, but realize it's God's decision. And I imagine some of you don't agree with that point. That's fine. I served the Lord for years. And it seemed like I had the power and didn't seem I had the power. And the more I get to the place of where I care more about Him, what He thinks, and what everybody else thinks, I'm seeing I've got more power in my life. You hearing me today? It comes from Him because He knows our heart. He sees down in Gary's heart. He sees the wicked way. He sees the mess. He sees it in you too. So don't forget those first two points. And the last one is this. Be terrified about exercising your own power and serving through your own strength. Be terrified. Be scared to death. Wasn't Simon scared to death? Say, what did he tell Peter? Please pray that none of those things happen to me that you say is going to happen. I think so many times we're full of ourselves. Look at me. Look at this. Look how fancy. Look at the big church. Look at all this good stuff. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I should be terrified that anything's going on here at Fellowship Church is not of the Holy Spirit of the living God. It should terrify me and scare the snot out of me. And quite frankly, it does. I carry a heavy load, not my workload. My workload's fine. It's that load of weight that weighs on me that says, are we doing the right thing? Is this your will? Is this your plan? And so many times I feel like quitting and just getting out from, not quitting on God, still loving Him and serving Him, but just quitting and laying down this because it gets heavy. Are anybody listening today? It's heavy, man. My wife gets home to me. Not long ago, my daughter and my wife both had me in a little bathroom where we have the laundry room and the bathroom, and I talked about quitting. And both she and my daughter nearly screamed at me, not to the top of their lungs, but you know what I mean? They were so impassioned at me and said, Dad, we've come too far. You're not going to do that. God's blessing. Bear up. Are you hearing me today? I'd rather not tell you stuff like that about me. Maybe if you go back home, many of you are, I wish you'd go to your pastor and try to encourage him. Amen? Come on. And I'm going to quit now. I thank the Lord for some of you that encourage me. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for you people. You people. I'm done. We got the last point. I got the rambling there. Come on, here we go. Being real doesn't say look at me or listen to me. Being real says this. It ain't about me. It ain't about me. The last thing. Being real says look to Jesus. Being real says, listen to Jesus. Being real says, it's all about, if you see anything that smacks of self or glitz or glamour, and you're not seeing Jesus, and you're repentant, and you're repenting of your wickedness, and you're watching with a keen eye, I'd run as far as I could away from it. Amen. I want to see him. That's what phony fire. I don't need anymore. That drove me crazy last week. You know what drives me even crazier? Today, when we leave, it drives me even crazier that a lot of you will go out in our community and you're phony. And you got a phony fire in you. And I don't think we can fix it right now this morning. I think it's going to take you getting in your prayer closet. It's going to take you getting alone with God. It's going to take you praying, asking God to put that finger on that wickedness in your life. Asking for forgiveness and then realizing it's His power. I can't turn on the spigot. Amen? Praise the Lord.